And to me, that is a magical situation to be walking around a town and people are like, you're on your honor. And they're walking around with just penis everywhere. I think I've seen your other podcast, so normally you want me to introduce you guys, your podcast?
Yeah, do whatever comes natural to you, seriously, just whatever.
All right, here we go. Hey there, this is Josh from Let's Game It Out, and you're listening to The First Podcast.
God, that was horrible. No, I'm just kidding.
That was, there was no razzle-dazzle.
All right, let me try that again.
Well, there was no ambiguity either. No, it's fine, no, it's fine.
I'm just kidding. I was actually thinking that was one of the best intros we've ever had.
It was very concise and very informative, and it didn't...
Hey, we can split the difference in between there.
You got our name right?
Oh, yeah. I was going to throw in some jokey names and some Chatterbait references, but I decided to save that for later on.
Oh, wonderful. I can't wait. My name's Joe. I'm going to be your co-host today, and I am joined by Lars, the main host and editor. Say hi, Lars. And with us today is our very special guest, the one and only Josh from Let's Game It Out.
Hi there.
Josh, you are joining us from the deepest depths of the internet. I believe you were playing a boat game before this?
Yeah, I was playing a game called Flotsam, where it's like a colony game where you build like a raft out of trash, or I guess like a whole city.
You really like playing games, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Here, I can tell you a little bit more about what it is that I do. So I have a comedy based YouTube channel called Let's Game It Out, where I usually try to play games in what I consider to be like a really unintended way to play. Just kind of whatever pours out of my mind, I guess, is usually what goes into these videos. And it usually produces some pretty funny results. I'll just kind of try to poke and prod at the game, try and find bugs or glitches that end up being sort of funny, but also stuff that kind of dismantles the game, but still lets you win in some capacity, and not really in like a cheating way, although there's some stuff that happens where there's like money glitches and stuff like that. But what I really like seeing and what makes me personally laugh is when a game sort of behaves bizarrely, but still kind of carries on and just lets you keep playing despite the horrible things that you can do to it. And I just think I'm in this really fortunate position where I make these videos that make myself laugh, and then they end up making other people laugh, which is a great place to be.
When you sit down and record a game, how much of that do you end up using?
Oh, man. Let's see. So my videos, the final video usually ends up being between 10 and 20 minutes, like everything on YouTube. But I would say I play on average, it depends on the game, really, but I probably on average 5 to 40 hours is how much I sit there and play it. It depends on what I'm trying to do, because some stuff just takes a really long time to accomplish, or I just kind of sit there and keep playing until I feel like there's something satisfying that happens.
And then you're basically just talking the whole time or some of the time, and you're like, oh, this is a funny thing, let me talk about this. And then do you mark it somehow for the final cut? Like you do like a clap or something to remember when you said something funny so you don't have to filter through it later?
So you ask a lot of really wonderful questions as someone who understands the editing process. I don't do any of those things, and I really should. Well, I kind of do. Okay, so I do all the editing myself, and so usually I'm working on editing a video within a day or two from the time I recorded, so my brain is still kind of fresh. And so a lot of the things I can remember, but if I know there's a big chunk of game that I just need to play that for sure won't have anything in it, I'll just kind of sit there silently, just dead-eyed while I play, and just make sure I don't say anything, so at least I know that big chunk I can usually cut out.
Interesting.
But what ends up happening, though, like if I end up playing this game, like a good example is I played a game called Cooking Simulator recently, which is, and I've played a couple episodes of this one, but it's a great game. Like you know, I think if you really actually wanted to play it for real, like, it gives you recipes and, you know, you can make the recipes as they're intended.
If you wanted to play it for real.
If you wanted to. But it has a lot of flexibility. And in a recent video, I realized that you could take, like, wooden cutting boards, and the physics in the game is such that you can actually kind of prop them up and they'll work kind of like dominoes. And so instead of, there's some recipe where I needed to, like, pour potato dumplings into a pot and cook them. And that's, you know, that's really it. That takes seconds to do if you're smart and not insane. But I decided instead I was going to make, like, a Rube Goldberg type contraption out of, like, cutting boards that, you know, fall over like dominoes and then knock over other stuff and set stuff on fire. And the ending result hopefully being to knock over this box of dumplings that will then, you know, pour into a thing that's on fire and then it'll cook itself. And setting up something like that took just an absurd number of hours just because the game doesn't want to do that, but the game can do it. It just takes a lot of patience and a lot of being good to it and talking nice to it and taking your time with it. But so stuff like that, I'll sit there just dead silent to a point. But if things start to go really poorly, that's when, and it's also really late at night, which ends up happening a lot. That's when the muttering starts happening that I don't remember until I come back to the recording later. And I'm like, good God, Josh, you were unhappy with this, weren't you?
I feel like the game Cooking Simulator is one of the few that I've seen where it's just so easy for it to go remarkably wrong in seconds. And it's like, it's sometimes I feel like it's almost a little bit too realistic. Like if you drop a plate from like an inch above, like it'll just smash and,
oh yeah,
everything is ruined really fast. Or if you throw something in the wrong direction, it's just all fucked. It's really amusing to watch.
Yeah, everything in that game, every glass object is just made of like Hollywood style, like sugar glass that just shatters for any reason, even if you just look at it wrong. And the other day, my wife was watching that episode and she was like, have you ever tried playing this game for real?
No.
I was like, no, I don't know if I ever have. The thought didn't even occur to me. And it's funny because I feel like playing it wrong is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
And I can imagine myself trying to play it correctly and just getting enraged when things don't go right, you know, because like everything breaks so easily in that game.
You must have a lot of patience setting up all of these stunts and waiting and patient, like painstakingly setting everything up just the way that it needs to be.
Yeah, I think it's usually the gamble that it'll pay off, which a lot of the times it does. Sometimes it doesn't. And you're left with that crushing realization that you kind of have to like take it somewhere else, which still ends up working. But I mean, that's sort of what ends up happening a lot of times with my videos is I'll sit down to record with sort of an idea in mind, and then I'll get about 5 minutes in and realize, oh, that's literally impossible in this game. Like, it'll never allow me to do this. Or, oh, that actually crashes the game. And so I have to avoid that whole area of whatever I was thinking I was going to mess with. But then you just kind of proceed and hope that you can find other stuff. And in most games, there's usually, like, some small, tiny, you know, thing that's not supposed to work the way you pushed it to, and then you can just kind of dive deep and see what happens with it.
Buoyancy was a really fun game. I started playing Buoyancy a few weeks ago whenever it came out, and then I was looking for, and it had just come out, so I went online looking for other people who've played it to just learn new things to do in it. And one of the first videos that I stumbled upon, it was like, let's see how long we can name the raft, like A-A-A-A or whatever. And I was listening to the I was watching the captions because this was at work. And I was like, oh, this is probably one of Josh's videos. And then I look and it was, and I was like, that's just the kind of thing that you would do just, you know, right from the beginning.
Oh, yes, that is. That's so my most popular video, one that I would have never expected would take off. But it's to this day the one that like YouTube has decided is the one to suggest to everybody, which was from a game called Startup Company. And that's probably one of the first games I played where I realized that, you know, it's, you know, like many games, it's like, all right, name your company and now name your CEO or whatever your main character is, depending on the game. And in this game, they just didn't have a character limit to what you could do. And it actually sort of reacted to it pretty well. Like if you put in an absurdly long name, you know, whenever it showed it, it would generally display it correctly in the, you know, the resized window.
Wait, was that the one where you were like lunchtime?
Oh, so that was tech support. That was another game that had that same issue where they didn't put a limit on that thing that had thankfully, results that didn't just straight crash the game, which is really, to me, a mark of excellence when you do this kind of stupid stuff and the game doesn't just drop out and be like, nah, just don't come back and play regularly. But yeah, in Startup Company, I just gave this CEO like a really absurdly long middle name. Like, I think in real time, it took me like 5 to 7 minutes just to type it.
It's Chad. Yeah, dude, I've got this great idea for a company. Well, let me tell you, bro, it's going to revolutionize the startup industry. When you hear about how much I got in my Series A financing, you'll want to angel invest in my business like yesterday, bro. Listen up, why don't you come over for dinner tonight? We can talk shop, no wife and kids, bro. Just us dudes hanging out, having some brewskis while we talk about how we're going to change the world, bro. It's going to be sick, bro. Hey, dude, have you ever gone to Breckenridge, bro? Bro, let me tell you, bro, I was just there shredding powder, and bro, let me tell you, that vodka and Red Bull White hits you. You hit the slopes. It's just the sickest, bro. I mean, you think you've... I'm not going to read this whole thing, but
man,
it's like...
I know I wrote that, but just picturing that person still kind of makes me upset to think about, yeah. Like, that person exists out there that actually yeah. says all those things.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, being able to do that in games is always just the funniest, and it is completely inconsequential to the game. Like, if anything, it's only going to have bad consequences down the road. Like, later on, the game's not going to accept that so well. But in that moment, that's the kind of stuff that, like, will make me laugh to tears. And I'm just so happy games let that happen.
Yeah.
Intentionally or unintentionally.
I solved city disasters by using human sacrifices.
Oh, yeah. Which...
These names are hilarious.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting thing. This is a different sort of tangent from all of that. But so my channel used to be... I mean, it was always video game and comedy focused. But at its creation, it was... sort of a lot more like a Game Grumps type show, where it was me and a co-host, and it was much less edited. In fact, it was almost never edited, at least as far as the video part's concerned. And it was just us like riffing or whatever. It was much more like a podcast where there's just a game being played. And in that era of things, it was a very different beast as to what the channel was. And our titling even was very similar to Game Grumps, where it was like game name first and then episode and then sort of like a very tiny blurb. And my co-host eventually moved on to go do other stuff because, as I'm sure you know from doing a podcast, it's an insane amount of work. And if you want to try and do other career goals, it's a tactical thing to try to figure out.
Boy, howdy is a lot of work.
Yeah.
Appreciate us.
Oh, I do. Well, I was thinking that I probably understand a lot to how you have to do a lot of editing for a podcast, just because I think it almost always probably sounds to audiences like podcasts just kind of come together. And like some of them obviously do, where like if they're all in the same room, it's really easy to just, you know, bang it out. But if you're in different locations like we are, you know, there's that tiny little bit of lag and it can make everything just feel a little bit like you're in separate locations. And it's not the cadence that we heard when we were talking. So I imagine you do a lot of just like incremental edits on almost everything we say.
Josh, if you'd allow me to demonstrate, everybody in the chat, post your idea of what goes on in the editing process, and Lars, you play the Jeopardy music in the background. Great. And Nick from the chat says editing, moderator Ken says hell, and Big A says Joe has a cute indigenous tooth structure. I don't really know what that means, but by the way, Lars, where can they go to check out the
Who's they?
Chat? All right. So for everybody listening in who's wondering, where can I go to listen to the chat?
Joe, why do you sound so nervous and confused?
All right, let me start over. I'm just trying to plug the Discord.
Okay.
Hey, Lars, so I referenced the chat just now. If the listeners wanted to go to the chat and listen in live and participate as we record, where can they do that?
It's impossible, Joe.
No, Lars. It's at discord.t1podcast.com.
Discord.t1podcast.com if you want to tune into these live and listen to guests like Josh from Let's Game It Out.
Then you want to come to discord.t1podcast.com. Did I get that right?
That's right.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say about 500 or more little micro edits per episode easily. And they take about a second to do each, but there's just like a lot of them all together. So it kind of like a death by a thousand cuts.
Totally.
I do it because, you know, I love the show and, you know, I love what I do. There is a tremendous amount of work behind it, though, for anyone who's like looking to get into that. You will either have to hire someone to do that for you, or you will have to learn how to do it. And it's it just takes a tremendous amount of time. I don't even know how to like quantify it.
Anytime anybody asks me, do you have any tips? I'm starting my own podcast. And sometimes I'm like, do you know how to edit a podcast? They're like, no, I'll wing it. And I'm just like, okay.
Yeah. If someone, if someone asks me if they have any tips for starting a podcast, I usually just say don't, because it's not really worth it in a lot of cases.
Would you say that the era of podcasts is still going strong, or is dwindling, or going to see a sort of a, what's the word I'm thinking of?
Well, statistically, if you actually look into it, there's just massive growth. And there is a bit of saturation going on right now, but like more and more people are actually picking it up because there's kind of a trend towards more long form content these days.
Interesting.
Yeah. If you look, video essays on YouTube are popular. Podcast listening numbers are up. People like to be able to have something that they can put on for an extended period of time.
That's true. In preparation for this, I listened to a couple of podcasts while doing other stuff instead of just staring off into space like I normally would.
Sure.
And it was quite enjoyable.
Yeah. Which ones did you listen to, by the way?
I listened to, I'm sad that I'm forgetting his name because I watched a ton of his content.
The Right Opinion?
The Right Opinion. Thank you. Yeah.
Do you want to say that again and we'll edit it so you don't sound like that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, The Right Opinion. I love that guy.
Yeah.
All right. I'm sure that's going to sound.
I should just leave all that
that'll
in.
Cut perfectly.
I'm sure that's going to turn out perfectly.
Yeah.
By the way, you had made $246 billion dollars.
You
want to
start this over, Joe?
Right. By the way, you had made $246 billion by deleting the internet. Did that come as a surprise, knowing that you could do that in real life as well as in the game?
Yeah, startup company. Yes. So that was probably the first, like, so that was the first video that sort of saw any pickup on YouTube. I'd been making videos for a pretty decent amount of time before that. As I mentioned, like I'd been doing it with this other dude. And when he left, I sort of switched to doing solo stuff.
What was the moment where you were just like, oh, wow, I should break the game instead?
So the way that ended up is because, you know, I think whenever anyone goes into something like YouTube or podcasting, I'm assuming you can tell me. But like you go into it because you saw something you liked and you'd love to do either something just like it or kind of like it or your own spin or just something where you can express your kind of creativity, whatever it is. Yes. And so, you know, I had a lot of, you know, YouTubers that I watched and that brought me personally like a lot of comfort at times when I needed it or just were very entertaining to watch. And I really admired that they could put out something like that. They could make something that they seemed to really enjoy with some consistency, because I feel like once it turns into, I'm going to say this in air quotes, a job, it can take on a different beast in your mind. And so I remember, you know, the place where that started with me was, again, I really liked the Game Grumps and I wanted to do something, or rather, I thought that the best vehicle for humor would be two dudes bouncing ideas off each other, because that tends to be very fluid, very, I'm not going to say easy, but if you have that right chemistry, it can really flourish.
Yeah.
But I think the age of YouTube is different than it used to be, and stuff like Game Grumps is, like, they're big. But I think if you were to try to replicate their success exactly in 2019, that's going to be a little bit more.
It would be easy?
Yeah, it's just anyone can succeed, and it's super easy to do.
Go start a Let's Play channel in 2019. You'll be sure to make it.
But I think it's more that YouTube changed, but the audiences are still there, and it just so happens that they're just looking for different things. And so what happened was after Anthony was the guy I used to do the show with, and once Anthony took off, I kind of was like, because we were also doing daily videos, because at that time it was when you're doing like long play stuff, it's a little bit easier to like put out a video every day.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to keep doing that. But I immediately changed the format where it was like, okay, it's just me. I'm going to keep sort of doing what I was doing, which was like first impressions and, you know, sort of just playing whatever and just saying funny things and just kind of seeing what happens. And doing a video like that every day where you're suddenly incorporating like a ton of editing and also it's just you. So in my case, that means now I don't have to hold to any kind of schedule, which means, and I had a day job. So it meant work my day job, come home, record for the next 4 to 5 hours, edit for the next 4 to 5 hours, and then just, you know, schedule the video to launch. But I'd be done at like 6 a.m. and then I'd go to sleep, wake up like 2 hours later and start the whole thing again.
Jesus.
Sounds like a pretty healthy lifestyle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so after a short period of time, the burnout was just insane. And I also wasn't particularly happy with where it was going in terms of, like, I liked the videos and they still made me laugh, but it just didn't feel like what I really wanted to be doing. It just felt sort of like a middle ground. And I felt like you can't really catch up if you're running yourself ragged all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I made sort of the difficult decision at the time where I was like, all right, I'm just going to stop doing daily videos. And, you know, at the time, my channel probably had, I want to say, like 500 subscribers. And, you know, it's funny because it at any, you know, volume of people that watch your videos, there's always that worry that if you stop, they'll go away or they'll notice or they'll say something or they'll be upset or whatever happens within communities where you're just like, well, I lost those people that I was trying to make laugh, and now they're going to go find someone else that makes them laugh. And I didn't do a video and literally nothing happened. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't do a video the next day and I kind of got some sleep and I got to see my wife once in a while. And then That's I came nice. Back and I had a couple of games queued up. And it was also at this moment that I really had to ask myself, like, do I want to keep doing this the way I'm doing it, where I'm not particularly excited about doing this because I'm so burnt out. I don't really know the direction I'm choosing to take it. Like, do I want to just stop and go back to the jobs I'm doing and sort of try to find fulfillment in some other way? Because for me, doing the channel was always a mix of things. Like, I always wanted to try to make it something where you can turn it into like a legitimate career or business or something that you can sort of sustain yourself on so you can keep doing it.
Like a hospital that ignores all privacy standards.
Exactly. Yeah. Just like that. Or what form that was going to take. And so I eventually figured out that what I really wanted to be doing was stuff that I was like, I wanted to play games on Let's Game It Out the way that I play them in my private life, which was completely wrong without any desire to succeed on the merits of what the game sets out for you. And in general, just kind of play like a complete jackass and see where it takes you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of other YouTubers that do this too. And I think that's fantastic that people are all finding ways to just like break these games, but not in ways that are horrible or mean to the game. They're just like exploiting a game and it's really funny to watch. It's not like a fuck you developer kind of moment. It's just more like, oh my God, this is really funny. And so I started kind of aiming myself towards videos like that where, you know, instead of just playing a game, I was like, well, this one thing is in it, or in the example you mentioned of the hospital game, like, well, I could just, because you're mentioning, I think, Project Hospital, which is a tycoon game where you make a hospital and you can make it as realistic as you want. You can, you know, lay out the waiting rooms where they are and, you know, make sure they're staffed with the right kind of doctor that gets the right kind of diagnosis. Or you can just ignore all that stuff and put toilets right next to the beds where people have to sleep and misdiagnose everyone you can and see how quickly you can reach malpractice and see what happens when that happens. And then like just continue on like that and just create this torturous environment that sounds sadistic when I describe it, but the results end up being so odd to just watch play out. Like, I think in that video, like in the OR, I put toilets in the OR. And I also made that the waiting room where all the doctors, the call room where the doctors wait until they're needed. And there was just a steady stream of doctors going to take a shit while these people were trying to operate. And that stuff just makes me laugh. Like it's absurd, but it's just so funny. And the fact that these games allow it is really just the best part.
Was there a penalty for that, by the way, for putting bathrooms just randomly, just haphazard?
I don't think so. And I think that might be the funniest part to me. Is just that the game logic like just treats it like, yeah, this is totally normal. This is what
this
people
is where
do.
You poop.
Yeah.
There's no reason
right next
not
to the operating table.
I honestly think that's probably funnier to me than if they have some sort of like negative reaction, like, oh my God, I'm embarrassed by this. But when they're just like, yeah, this is where you do your business.
Because it's the right opposite here of what you would expect in real life. It's a surprise to and then also, you know what surprised me? You did a video about making like smartphones that are just the worst possible smartphones that you could make.
Oh God.
And then you literally change nothing about it and re-release it as the next form of it. And so that, people just bought it.
Yeah. So that game was the most pure version of like, Like, if I were to write a manual on the weird way I play games, this would be like chapter one, because that game required basically no effort to destroy it. Like, it, when they released it, there was no anything that would stop this from happening. Like, it was one of those games that's like surface level, and it's like, oh, you can create all these things and you can, you know, make the phone you want and sell it for the amounts you want, and it'll behave somewhat realistically. But there was no deeper logic that I could see that prevented you from just being like, nah, crappiest phone, sell it for $3,000. And the game's like, yep, sounds good. You're going to sell as many of this phone as you would have for the other phone. That made sense. And I learned that really early on in that game. And so I just doubled down for about, I think, like 18 phones or something like that, until eventually like something like 34 quadrillion phones had been sold.
Wow.
I remember at the time I did the math on this, and it was like multiple millions, if not billions, of phones per person on the planet, if that many phones were actually made.
Makes sense. I mean, at the rate of which they're producing new phones and, you know, sales of phones, that sounds about accurate.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to need those.
Watching you play these games has actually changed the way that I play games. I wouldn't say that I have tried to play them like more outrageously or anything like that, but just hearing your logic while playing them, where you're like, oh, you know, I feel like normally you would do this, so I'm going to do the opposite. And then it kind of makes you think the next time you play a game, like, it changes your perspective. You're like, oh, I could play any number of ways. There's not just one way to play a game. There's not the right way to play a game. There's not a wrong way to play a game.
Well, you know what, though? I think it's actually kind of interesting with that in perspective, where you look at games like Grand Theft Auto 5, where they kind of have a contingency plan for every way you might want to try to mess it up. Like, they've thought of everything in the development circle. Like they programmed, like, if you fuck up the mission this way, this is how they'll be able to do it. Or if you go off script, like, they have stuff to work around that. And I think it's really interesting to see the opposite of that, where it's like they have these contingency plans. I don't know why I can't talk.
Yeah, I mean, it's, and I think it often aligns with the budget and sort of the power they can put into making those games. Because, I mean, I want to say Red Dead, I found like one or two funny things you can do, but when a game is massively polished, they've usually got all their bases covered.
Yeah.
And so it's, in some ways, it's kind of unfair, because if you know, probably the most buggy or most, I was going to say vulnerable, but that's a weird word to use for that, but it'll work, which is the most vulnerable games to exploiting, I think, are these ones where, you know, the teams can't, they're just not big enough to cover every possible situation that every weirdo out there is going to come up with. And so you end up having these, but they're also very competent teams that are making these things. So even though they didn't come up with like a very specific way to handle them, the game still finds a way to carry on, which is usually where the real fun comes in.
Yeah.
A la Project Hospital.
So what you're saying is you're probably never going to come out with a Red Dead video.
I thought about it, but like, Red Dead is also extremely well covered. And I think that there's been people far more talented than me at that game that have like covered every possible awesome thing about it. I mean, I think the only thing I did that really made me laugh is trying to figure out a way to kill people and get away with it without it having like any noticeable penalty, which this was the same with Red Dead 1, actually, where if you find a way to drown people in a way where the game doesn't sort of link it back to you, you can just kind of do this forever, which, you know, makes me laugh personally, but I can't really make a huge video out of just that. That's for me time.
Okay, I gotcha.
You know what I used to do? I used to play bridge.
You used to go to amazon.t1podcast.com.
Hold on, Lars. Save that.
Now we gotta get our sponsor, dude.
Lars, I'm in the middle of a thought. Save it for 1 second, please. And I understand your eagerness to want to plug the sponsor. I just, one last thing, and then we'll plug the sponsor.
Okay.
You know what I used to...
All right, Joe's muted. I'll go ahead and bang out the sponsor now. Okay. Amazon.
Have you no respect, Lars? I'm right in the middle of telling a goddamn story, and I'd like to finish my story.
Have you guys heard about this one thing called amazon.t1podcast.com?
Oh, my God. Have. All right, now we have to do the sponsor.
Josh is against you in this battle. All
right. I was just going to say I'll play Bridge Building Simulator and try to build the flimsiest bridge that I can.
Okay, Joe.
The flimsiest bridge that'll still work.
Isn't that great, though? It feels so good when it works.
Yeah, the cars will go over it, and it's wobbling, and it looks like it's about to break, and sometimes it breaks as they're crossing the finish line, but the game's just like, yeah, that works.
So you know
what else works?
Go ahead.
No. Amazon, he's just gonna do Amazon.
Podcast.com.
No, sorry.
Amazon.
Jenny, Josh, finish your thought, Josh. What were you gonna say?
Well, my favorite. So, tell me if you do this. So, what really makes me laugh about this stuff is I sort of put my brain in that game, in the sense of like I try to imagine if this is really happening, and that's what really makes me laugh is stuff like, yeah, those cars just harrowingly didn't die because they sort of just nimbly bounced off of a bridge falling apart.
Yeah,
just a normal Monday, right?
Yeah, the car would have been totaled, but the game is fine with it. It's like, all right, you pass. You're onto the next level. You're a certified archaeologist or architect.
Architect.
All right.
Okay.
Do you know where you can buy architectural type stuff, by the way? I heard about this site called Amazon.T1Podcast.com.
Amazon.T1Podcast.com. That's where you're going to want to go to buy all your tchotchkes. And they've got tchotchkes galore. You know, they've got knickknacks, paddywhacks, give a dog a bone.
You can also buy a lot of simulator games on there as well.
Simulators. I'm talking video games. I'm talking video game systems, strategy games, simulation games, the works.
Where can I get that again?
Amazon.T1Podcast.com. Now, I know what you're thinking. Amazon.T1Podcast.com. That's slightly different than Amazon.com, isn't it? And you're right. Amazon.T1Podcast.com is our affiliate link. That's going to take you to Amazon.com, but it's going to do a nice little cookie thing where it tells Amazon cookie that thing? We're the ones who sent you. Yeah, it does a cookie thing.
Okay, Joe.
It tells them that we're the ones that sent you. So change your bookmark to Amazon.T1Podcast.com today.
And Joe, why would people want to do that?
It helps support the first podcast.
But in a way that doesn't cost them any extra money.
It doesn't cost them any extra money.
Because the truth is, you were going to shop on Amazon as it is.
No, that's right, Lars.
Probably within the last week.
Probably today.
Yeah, I ordered some stuff a couple days ago. I could have ordered that through Amazon.T1Podcast.com.
Josh, change your bookmark from Amazon.com to Amazon.T1Podcast.com.
And there you go.
Okay, here's the problem. I mean, I don't know about you, but I do all my shopping through the Tor network. In a secret browser via 3 VPNs. Yep. So there's no way I can do bookmarks, but I'll try to remember this.
That's all we ask.
Also, speaking of VPNs, should we bust out our other sponsor, Joe?
NordVPN is the VPN that is the best. NordVPN is an award-winning VPN. They won't sell your data. It only costs a few bucks a month. Like
$3 a month, guys.
$3
to
protect a month.
Your internet security. Watch Dogs 2 Hackers are after your data in real life, folks.
Truth.
That's right.
And honestly, just getting it 3 years at a time is probably better opposed to what I do, which is a year at a time, forget about it, and go, oh, I guess I'm paying for that again. So just get 3 years.
Right.
Yeah. Nord.T1Podcast.com is the link that'll send you to NordVPN. The coupon code is TheFirstPodcast. Tell them we sent you for 75% off your first subscription. It protects you from Watch Dogs 2 Hackers. It lets you watch The Office in French. It lets you get away with no throttling. It gives you a lot of really cool stuff. Even if you die before the 3 years end, you still have to pay for it. That's just how life works. NordVPN.
NordVPN.
That's just how life works.
NordVPN. Shut the fuck up and just download it.
That's a great slogan. All right, let's move on.
NordVPN. Just shut the fuck up and download it.
All right.
It's funnier the first time.
Yeah. As always.
I like being yelled at constantly. It's okay.
All right. So, Josh, you strike me as the kind of person who would goof around in school.
Oh God, not just school, just life. I mean, I know that sounds like a broad answer, but like, Jesus, if my wife could be on this podcast right now,
would you like to have her on?
Oh no, I think she's asleep.
No, we insist.
Wake her up. Come
wake
on.
Wake her up.
You brought her up. That is so tempting to do.
No, don't wake her up. Don't wake her up. She wouldn't like that.
Just like, hey, get down here. Talk to these two dudes with me.
The chat is asking, Josh is married. I think they're a little disappointed. They wanted a shot with you.
Well, you know, it's funny.
What does that mean?
I don't know. We could just take it any way we want. this has actually come up a couple of times where people are, it's come across two different ways. And I'm basing this on the no context tone of the internet. But it's come across either as like, oh, Josh is married, maybe. But most of the time, it's like, someone married Josh?
Oh.
And that part is a little more like, yeah, I get why you feel that way.
Well, you seem like a pretty normal dude. I don't see why people are like shitting on you.
Well, it's funny. Like the best way I can describe this is I have a buddy who's never met me in person, but he's like a friend of a real life friend. And he's only played games with me where I've been like an obnoxious troll in these games. Mm-hmm. And he finally like came across my Facebook and saw a picture of me and like, yes, I look like a totally normal person. And he saw it and he's like, ugh, you look like someone would want to marry.
Oh.
I thought you would just be like an angry looking like little person that just hates everything. But yeah, no. So in life or more so in school, I tried to be, I was a decent student, but school was never interesting. I think most people probably
say that,
right?
Did you just say you were a D cup student?
I was a D cup student.
All right.
I was very proud of that.
Whatever works. No, continue. Go ahead.
Oh, I mean, you know, I would say that more the thing about the way I play games as, or rather how that sort of manifested in life is more with jobs. I used to do a lot of office jobs and stuff like that. And I was never interested in the work at those jobs nearly as much as the opportunity to just fuck around. And
same.
Yeah. Right. Like, and it's just, I think everyone secretly feels that way. I really
Can
do.
You give
I mean,
us an example.
Yeah. So I worked at a startup where, and this might be where my rage comes from in that startup video.
Oh.
But I worked at a startup in San Francisco of all places, and it was the whole open office setup.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're talking, you know, every department was in this place. You've got software engineers, you've got business developers, you've got tech support, you've got operations.
That explains so much.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you put the CEO on the other side of the plants.
Well, I probably would have done that anyway. And the place where I worked, the CEO was a pretty good guy. In fact, everyone I worked with at this place was pretty great, actually. It was kind of the exception.
I thought you were
going to
say the CEO was behind a bunch of plants. In real life.
I think he might have been at some point, actually, once they expanded offices. But I think that was after my time. But at the time, it was like, you know, 60, 70 people just shoved in one giant room with the concrete floors and the open ceiling and everything echoes. And, you know, the department I worked in, which was business development, you know, those guys are always sort of, this is going to sound awful when I say it this way, but I'm going to say it anyway. They're all the same where they just want to be like, hey, you want to high five? We got the deal done. Yeah.
Mm.
And they're just kind of a loud bunch that like to sort of talk about stuff out in the open. And that's fine. But when you're in an open office, that can just get really crazy making for every department, especially programmers that are just desperately trying to focus. And then you have literally high fives or just, you know, rowdy talk going on. And so I remember at one point our boss pulled us aside and was like, hey, so the volumes are getting a little bit loud. So we're going to, you know, just subtly, if you notice things start to get a little bit louder, just kind of do like a little shh, just like remind everyone to use like five inch voices, library voices, just shh, just shh, just remind each other, make that noise.
Wait,
go,
can
shh,
we all just shh for a while?
Shh,
like
shh,
shh, shh. Hey, Lars, you're not shh.
And that would work, right? Like, do you feel how, like, okay, we brought the volume down. Everything's great.
I was feeling very meditative.
Right? So, but they did not specify, nor did they say it'd be a problem to not do it so calmly. And so, and also, like, I too didn't want the volume. Like, I just desperately wanted to put headphones on and do my thing and then go home and cry into my pillow or whatever. But,
sure.
And so if some of my coworkers would try to talk to me, and this sounds way more passive aggressive than it really was, but like they would start talking and be like, hey Josh, I would just go, okay, and everyone who's wearing headphones right now, you might want to brace yourself because this is probably going to be loud, but like they'd be like, hey Josh, did you, and I would just go shh, shh. And if they kept trying to talk, I would just do it over and over again, and it was funny the first or second time, horrible the third time, and then everyone else started doing it too, and that's when the whole purpose was lost. And they had to move on to some other suggestion because now no one could use that one.
So you applied the let's game it out formula to this.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it was hilarious to me, but I really do, in hindsight, feel for the people, the collateral damage of my desire to just fool around at work, because some people just want to go to work and not, you know, feel tense like that probably made them feel.
Yeah.
But also another example, if you want another one, is one of my coworkers that I sat next to, went on vacation. And so like the moment he was gone, just like sort of superficially trashed his desk, didn't really do anything, but just like got a lot of like paper mess and just piled it as high as you can on his desk. And most of the time I would like just take a picture and send it to him. But occasionally I would just leave it that way. But they did the same to me in the long term. So it was good fun.
I used to work in a office. I was a recruiter and I was in a room of a bunch of other recruiters. And I had this clown that I found at a garage sale. And it was like an original Bozo the Clown from like the 60s that had like broken, cracked nose and like a missing foot. And it just looked cursed. And people were frightened of this thing. And I would bring it to work and hide it in like various corners and just wait for people to notice it.
That is fantastic.
And every now and again, there would be like a girl that would notice it and it would be quiet. And then she would just like scream randomly. And I knew that it's because she found the Bozo the Clown, but nobody else would know why. And then she like freaked out. She would be like, there's a clown. And then people would be like, what are you talking about?
Sounds like you were torturing your coworker, Joe.
Oh, that's the good stuff.
It was so funny.
Sometimes you just have to. I mean, and the best part is when your coworkers let you do it a little bit. Like they're like, okay, I will attempt to understand your humor and not despise you for being this obnoxious. How long did they let you get away with that, would you say?
She was a good sport. I mean, it's not like that they let me get away with it. Like they didn't like that I had this doll thing that I would like keep in my desk. But I just kept doing it. I put it on the director's chair. I think I put it on the vice president's chair and just waited for him to get back to his desk.
I mean, the great thing about that, though, right, is at the core of it, it's pretty innocent. Like no one's, well, very few people are probably going to be legitimately upset by this. And it's easy to just move away from and get away from, but it's not going to attack you. Probably. It's probably not cursed, right?
Probably.
My coworker who sat next to me somehow I said, hey, Chris, we have the same haircut. And he was like, ugh. Like, I was like, what? What's the matter? You don't like me? You don't like that I have the same haircut as you? So I decided that I needed to Jim and Dwight him.
And
him. So at lunch, I got the same shirt that he has. I found the same sunglasses that he has. I changed my background on my computer to the same background that he had by going into his desktop computer and finding the image, which was a screenshot of an episode of The Simpsons that he had watched. I printed out a picture of his truck, which was a blue Toyota Tundra, and put it up in my office. I found the same Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle toy that he had at Walmart, and I got that too. I got the same mouse pad that he had with the memory foam on it, and there was more too. It was just everything was the same. And my boss was in on it because everyone used to prank this guy. So my boss was like, hey Joe, you should prank this guy, you should do this. So then he IM'd my boss and was like, wasn't Joe wearing a blue shirt before? And she was like, no, I don't think so. And then he has a picture of my desktop. Where did he get that? And she's like, I don't know. I think you're reading into this too far. And then he was like, should I go, like, should I report him? I think he went onto my computer to get that image. And then she's like, no, don't report him.
This seems like an office of like mild chaos at all times.
It really was.
That's kind of how offices feel, I think. They're never orderly. And let me ask you this. When you were doing this prank, at any point did you self-reflect and you're like, man, I'm spending more time on this than any body of work that I've chosen to do at a job by comparison, at least from like a passion standpoint?
Well, I was certainly passionate about what I was doing. It was a profession, like if it was a valid career choice to go into pranking people and just having fun, I would do that. And I feel like podcasting is close.
Yeah, it seems like you also get to talk to a lot of really interesting people, like looking at your roster of people that you've had and also coming up.
I like
up,
how you subtly just complimented yourself.
I noticed that too. It sounds like you get to interview a lot of massive YouTubers with hilarious channels about gaming and breaking games. These amazing humans.
But there's also people with the right opinion. Ooh, among other talented individuals.
That's right. No, but in all honesty, Josh, you are amazing individual. Hilarious.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, in all honesty, Josh, you are the wrong opinion.
Yeah, he's just, everything he says is wrong. It's tough life to have. But thank you. No, I appreciate that.
The chat keeps bitching about something, by the way. They keep saying, Grace!
Oh, yeah. I should probably explain that, because that's like a running gag that's gone on and that sort of organically took hold. I've sort of battled with exactly where to take it at this point, because it's sort of like such a long running gag that people that have been watching the channel kind of get it pretty quickly. But I can't imagine what that must be like for people that have never seen anything. And they're like, oh, this guy played like a Raft game. Let's check it out. Oh, he named a bird Grace, and now Grace is like a big deal. So anyway, so the background of Grace is it harkens back to that startup company video again. And all that really happened in that video was I hired an HR person. I made her work extraordinary, and her name was Grace. And it just so happened to be the name of the person that I hired in the game. Mm-hmm. The game just generated that name. And I just happened to torture the ever-living shit out of her by, like, giving her, like, long hours. And the game just reacted in such a way where it was just, her torment was just especially funny. And in my comments, at some point, there was a person named Grace that responded to that by just being like, because in the game, I think the funny thing was, it was like her excitement was 0% or her interest was 0%. Something was 0%, not even 1%, just zero. This person's dead inside. And so this person, Grace, commented just saying like, yes, this is true. I am this. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that was so funny. And at some
Grace
point,
was real.
Yeah, that this, well, to me, this is the true beauty of the internet is I have no idea who this person is. And she made something that made me laugh. And so I think if not on this one, in later videos, I definitely started pinning the comment that she would say, because it almost always made me laugh. But, you know, in future videos, or I think the way this started as like a running gag is I just happened to play another game that had a character named Grace. So I just leaned into it and tortured that character too. Mm. And from that, the person that comments on my videos named Grace commented on that one too. And I was like, this is hilarious. And so now every time I post a video where there's a Grace character or one where I can change their name to Grace, I don't do it on every video, but like I'll sometimes lean in to just mess with a character named Grace and she will comment and it makes me laugh every time. And so it's just this cyclical thing that could not have existed without the internet. Because again, and there's some people that comment that think I must know her, which is a logical thing to assume, but I have no idea who she is. I've never spoken to her outside of these comments.
Shout out to Grace.
So Grace, if you're out there, high five.
Now we have to get this episode in her hands. Next time she posts, you should give her a link to this episode and be like, at 50 minutes and 30 seconds.
Just be like, this answers everything.
We talk about you, Grace.
I feel like she will respond in such a way where like a fictional character would. Like, I don't know what this person really thinks, but that would really make my day if it was sort of like in Westworld. Have you seen Westworld?
Yes.
Where when the androids are faced with like a situation they're not supposed to understand and they're just like, well, doesn't look like anything to me. That's what I assume she would do if she was told the truth.
She's only programmed to respond to your videos.
To being tormented in my videos, and everything else just is not a reality she can understand.
Grace, we talked about you on this video. Well, that doesn't look like anything to me.
Yeah. Videos?
I only know YouTube comments.
I mean, it's the place where all of the best conversations happen with the most educational value.
Have you ever played with evolution simulators?
Evolution simulators.
Yeah, there have been a few good ones over the years that I've played with. I think right now there's one where you try to make a shape and it try to make it jump the highest or run the farthest, and it just hundreds of generations later you see what it comes up with. I think it's artificial intelligence.
Oh yeah, so I don't think I ended up making a video out of that game. It's like AI evolution, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
I did fire it up and then I think I just moved on from it just because I couldn't find a way to make like I couldn't figure out a way to like get into that vector where you can like really do something odd. It was like an actual good educational game versus something that you could like, you know, turn inside out and make a joke out of it. So I kind of just left it be because it was a good product.
I got a lot of my coworkers onto your channel, by the way, by just watching the videos at work And then
that's
they'd
awesome.
Be like, oh, what are you watching? And then we would just, it got to the point where, because there's this position where we're on phones, like I'd be answering phones for like an hour, but if it's not busy, I'm just watching YouTube videos. So I would just watch like a few of your videos and then we would just be like around the computer all just watching your videos.
That is incredibly flattering. That is one of those realities that you just can't really comprehend when you're making these things, I feel.
Honestly, your videos have brought more joy to my life than I think almost any other YouTuber's videos ever have. Just the sheer genius that goes into
Jesus
these.
Jesus joke.
I appreciate that. That is very high praise.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I'm not making that up either. The videos that you come up with, it's like you're with your friends and you're just bantering and you know, like there's that one funny friend. And I know in reality, it's like many, many hours and like it's filtered down to just the funny bits, but it just in rapid succession, they're all so well timed that it's like it inspires you to be funnier yourself. I think I'm watching these and I'm like, I could be a better version of myself after watching these videos. It's like, I could be funnier. I should take a page out of Josh's book and, you know,
yeah,
be
I
funnier
say do it.
Myself.
I can't remember where I either heard someone say this or read it or probably both or all, but that when it comes to stuff like humor, anyone who has said something that ended up being actually funny, like anything else where you succeed, right? It's because you failed at it just an immeasurable amount of the time. And I think that stuff like YouTube videos or attempts at being funny and stuff like that are all the same. So I highly recommend people try. And I don't say this like I'm like the bastion of funny. I just mean like the only way that stuff ends up working is if you just hammer away at it forever until you find the thing that works.
Can you do, by the way, in the chat, somebody's asking, can you do your best NPC greeting?
My best NPC greeting?
Yeah.
Are you talking about like liberal cuck or are we talking about like NPC, like playable, non-playable character?
Playable character. So I guess what he means, I'm assuming, is Ken, am I getting this right? You're asking him to do his best greeting from the perspective of like just you walk up to a character and like you press A on them? Yeah, that's what he means.
Is this from any particular thing I've played or just like generically something from
just
a game?
In general.
Just in general?
Yeah.
Oh man, I'm trying to think because, okay, let's narrow this down. Do we want to go with any particular like genre or because we could go like, I mean, I guess it's all going to turn out the same. I guess I already know in my head. It's going to sound like me. It's just going to be me talking, but I can still do it.
Yeah.
So let's say what, medieval? Medieval sounds good.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of stuff from like Skyrim because I remember, or maybe like Morrowind because I always remember there was always some lines that I didn't really get at the time. And in fact, I still don't think they make very much sense. Like when people are like, greetings to thee, you're on your honor. And I'm like, what honor are you possibly talking about? I'm naked in this game. What honor? So there you go.
Rockshell in the chat says, oh, you're finally awake. Funny.
Oh, that's from Morrowind, right?
No, that's from Skyrim.
Oh, is that from Skyrim?
Yeah.
Is that? Oh no, in Morrowind, it's the dark elf that's like, oh, you're dreaming. And I've tried to do that, guys. I've tried to do the dark elf voice from Morrowind back when they had like a really, really raspy voice. And I would love to meet the person that does those because that sounds so taxing to do.
What if you clicked on a character in a game and it looks exactly like a family member, your uncle, and then it uses your real voice? Yeah, I mean, your real name. Like you just click on it. It goes, Lars, you've got to wake up. You're in a coma. This is your uncle, Dave.
You want me to say that?
You've got to wake up. You've got it. This is not a joke. This is not part of the game right now. We, you know, this. And then it just starts and it makes you lose your mind.
What is
that'd
this?
That'd be pretty, like in a game.
What are you waffling on about, Joe? What is
that'd
this?
That'd be funny. You're playing some game, and then it just tells you that you have to wake up because you're in a coma, and starts giving you like real facts about your life, like when you were in that car accident, you entered a coma, and we're the doctors, and you know, you're dreaming right now. This is all a dream. You have to wake up.
So this isn't quite the same.
No,
do you,
no,
do you remember the game?
Like,
do you remember the game Black and White?
Yeah.
Yes.
So I didn't know this until way later, but like, you know, at the very beginning, you have to enter the name of your god character. And there was a whole roster of names, apparently, in that game that they voiced. Because, OK, do you remember when one of your people in your civilization died? It would whisper and go death every time they died.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. It's been a long time since I played, but yeah, I think I remember that.
So what I didn't know is they had like a roster of names that it would recognize that they voiced over, where it would sometimes just whisper that name back to you. So if it was a common name, probably like Joe, you know, just randomly while you're playing, you would just suddenly hear Joe, which is not quite the same, but it's pretty creepy if you don't see that coming. And I feel like games don't take that opportunity very much, probably because it's a lot of effort for nothing.
Could we all just whisper Joe for a while?
Joe. Oh, and I can say this, Lars, if you want. Do you get to the Cloud District very often? Oh, what am I saying? Of course you don't.
Thank you. That's great.
I want to pull out my bow, sneak around, and kill everybody in Skyrim just thinking about that.
Oh, are you a big Elder Scrolls player, by the way?
I do tend to play them. I played Skyrim once. I did buy it multiple times, like everybody. Okay. And I got excited to have it on Switch and then realized it's not quite the same without mods, mm-hmm. which is to say, I don't know what kind of mods you install. I'm sure this will come as no surprise. But when it comes to the Elder Scrolls games or Fallout, there's only two mods I really need. And this is going to sound fucked up, but I'm sure you'll understand because you've played these games. Killable children. That's the first one you need. Because those little motherfuckers mouth off to you and you can't do anything about it. But the other one is, you know, there's like some nude mod. And like, honestly, like, I don't care about any of that unless. But like, what I do think is hilarious, though, is because in Skyrim, you can pickpocket clothes right off of people. If they're dudes, suddenly their dicks are just out and they're walking around like it's no big deal. And to me, that is a magical situation to be walking around a town and people are like, you're on your honor. And they're walking around with just penis everywhere. So that's how I play Skyrim.
Yeah.
And Oblivion and Morrowind. And
there's
pretty
a
much
reason Lars was asking, yeah.
Why did you ask that question? Well, funny you should ask. We actually have interviewed the creator of the Elder Scrolls on our podcast as well. So I'm going to ahead and link that in the chat.
His name is Vijay Lakshman.
If you guys want to go find out who created the Elder Scrolls and want to get some interesting information about the lore and the mythology behind it, go ahead and check that out. But yeah.
Also, Ken, not this is a terrible segue, but no, you cannot pickpocket the children's anything.
Oh, God, please make it so you can't. That sounds dreadful.
You know what's weird, though, is there's actually voice, like they recorded voiceover for the children being killed. And so what does that tell you about that game?
Oh, that
tells
it was
me they
intended.
Were crazy prepared, I guess, but still
very polished.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In a very dark way.
Can you tell I'm eating Skittles?
I think emotionally I knew, but I can't hear it, if that's what you mean.
We all knew deep down.
good. Because I wanted a little snack, so I got Skittles.
Can you stop eating on the podcast show so I don't have to keep editing it out?
Oh, you won't have to edit it out because Skittles are not a crunchy snack. In the very first episodes of the podcast, I would eat potato chips.
It's a good sound.
And we have come a long way. We have come a long way since.
I was thinking about eating some Chinese food and avocados. Would that work for you?
It's a mushy food.
Yeah, just make
food,
some nice
so
slurping noises. Mm-hmm. And
there's no
chewy kind of crunch and all good stuff for the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Car, no, thank you.
We once interviewed someone. I'm not going to say who, but we could tell they were scratching their balls at one point. Like, it was really obvious.
How? What distinct noise was it making?
Audibly, just scratching.
Was there like? I mean, was there like an audible, like a vocal noise that went with it?
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah. Well, because he was one of those people who didn't realize you kind of got a chill. While you're doing a podcast, so he's just like walking around and knocking into stuff and doing dishes and everything.
Wait, which episode was
that? I'll tell you later, Joe.
Yeah, that's funny.
That's always the best, though, right? I imagine that you get all types, too, that sit there. And I mean, right now I'm in the basement of my home, surrounded not just by sound foam and all that garbage, but also in like a little sheet fort, which probably don't need to. But in my mind, it's like, yeah, that'll make for better sound if I surround my desk with blankets in such a way that is reminiscent of a child's sheet fort, which is what I'm in right now.
Is it like a boiling hell there, though, right now?
It is pretty warm, yeah. Yeah, especially
because... It probably would help, because if you're able to make it so that your space is smaller, there's less echoing, and it actually does probably help.
Yeah, your logic is sound.
What would your useless superpower be?
What would my useless superpower be? I used to have a quick answer for this. I'm trying to remember, because...
Your useless superpower.
So it has to have basically no good application, right?
Right, yeah.
Oh, man. It's funny, because the way my brain works, like, where I immediately go is, like, just only stuff that would make life harder, not just kind of a net neutral.
Harder is fine, because that's still useless.
Because I was like... I guess the first thing that came to mind was like needing to go to the bathroom all the time. You know, like when you have to pee in a dream and it's just like that.
Ooh, what if your power was that every time you pee in a dream, you pee in real life?
Oh, man. That's kind of a mixed bag, though, right? That's just, I mean, I feel like that's just going to happen to myself in like 40 years anyway.
Yeah, no, but it's like geriatrics, like really early on.
Just the whole spread of geriatrics, actually. That's my useless superpower.
You become old as a young, young man.
I'm just fragile.
What if you were a genius one day a year, and it's on like a random day, but it's always a day where you're not like doing anything. So you're the day that you're relaxing all day.
What if it was like you're a genius one day a month, but you pay a huge like intelligence penalty every other day?
Yeah, like you're a complete imbecile the other days.
So it's kind of like Flowers for Algernon. Did you read that book ever?
Yeah, exactly. Like you're Charlie.
yeah, that's right, Charlie. Yeah, I could deal with that, I think. I mean, I think the hardest part about that would be, you know, once you've been through it once, you can acknowledge that you used to be smarter and now you don't remember why, which sounds really dark, actually. But that was the whole point of that book, was that guy became extremely intelligent and then lost it all. And I remember reading that book in school. And everyone, like the teacher was like, was he better off knowing about this or not knowing? And everyone was like, oh, he's so much better off. He's enriched for knowing what it was like to be smart and having that life. And I was like, no, he was so much better off before he knew the truth.
Yeah.
I think about Flowers for Algernon a weird amount of the time. It's kind of like, you remember Mrs. Doubtfire? Of course you do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably the one movie that sticks out of my, like just enters my brain out of nowhere, because the subject of it is so surreal and odd for a child-friendly comedy.
Yeah, but it's the sexiest that Robin Williams has ever been. I mean,
I agree
about it.
Entirely.
Yeah.
Especially as I get older, it becomes more alluring.
To older women over time.
Yeah, when you're younger, it's Sally Fields, and then you get a little bit older, then it's just Pierce Brosnan for like 15 years, and then you move on to the sexy female Robin Williams.
Those are the only three, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Josh, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
I'm 36.
Okay.
I was guessing probably in your 30s, but like kind of like a youthful kind of person in their 30s.
I would have guessed like 33. So,
yeah.
You have a young sounding voice, but based on your...
You seem to have had some life experience.
Oh, thanks. Sound haggard and... worn out.
No, just like you're not like a juvenile person anymore. Well, in some ways maybe, but
well, in some ways
a little,
you just
maybe a little haggard.
I sometimes think about this too, especially with you know, one of the interesting things is through my channel, I've reconnected with some people that I haven't talked to in a long time, and for them it was sort of the natural thing to see how these videos ended up, because from their perspective it's like he's grown not at all. He still plays games the same way. And stuff like that. So, but I appreciate that. Man. 33 is a good age.
Yeah, I can't wait until I hit 33.
Also, it's kind of like, fuck you. I have, you know, 200,000 subs now or 3,000 or 300,000. So it's like you're doing something right.
Oh, by the way, you ever go up to people on the street and just, flex on them? You don't even know who these people are, but you're just like,
flex?
Yeah, you're just this Lawrence. This is question's not for you, Josh. You ever go up to people and you're like, "Hey, mailman, I got 266,000 subs."
So I no, for one, not yet. I'm sure okay. If I have a really bad day, I'm gonna do some weird flex to some stranger. Yeah. That's gonna be like, no one cares. I mean, something I'll often say to my wife, and it's a complete joke when I say this, but she'll ask me to do normal person stuff. I'll be like, don't you realize you're with an internet celebrity? I mean, and I'm completely joking, but I do have this one fantasy that has never happened, and I don't think I would actually do it if it did. But for one, I've never been recognized in person because I've never done like a face reveal or anything like that. Maybe someday, but I just haven't yet. So I would find it very odd.
I've seen you. I just kind of keep to the shadows.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect.
I'm looking at you right now.
But that's impressive, actually, especially because I'm in the sheet fort.
Yeah.
I'm here with
very
you.
Good vision.
I'm here in the sheet fort.
But a couple of weeks ago, I was at an airport and there was someone who was just like watching YouTube and just like blasting it. No headphones, which is just the worst. But
that's considerate of them.
Yeah. So I had this fantasy. They weren't watching my show, obviously. But like I had this fantasy that if this ever happens where someone is blasting my show, that I would love to come up to him and just be like, "Hey, can you fucking turn that shit off?" And just never mention that they're watching my channel or anything like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not going to earn any fans or anything like that, but it's a great idea in my head.
That's funny.
There's a chance, by the way, that they'll be like 15 seconds after you walk off, they'll be like, "Wait a second.
Hey, it's that guy.
Yeah, and he just told me to fuck off."
I got to go talk to him now. Yeah. Even though he's probably super pissed. Yeah, he'll find his way onto the flight.
They get arrested for pushing their way past security.
They'll get it, though. Internet celebrity.
It's turning into a really elaborate fantasy at this point, though.
I cannot stress enough, by the way, that I do not think of myself as an internet celebrity or an internet nothing in the celebrity realm. I'm just a dude who makes videos and very grateful that people watch.
Well, I think once you if you crack a million, I think you could probably call yourself that.
Well, it's a weird thing, right? Like, I feel like you can have an insane presence on a platform, or like Instagram, I think, is a great example. And I say that as someone who doesn't follow Instagram hardly ever, and mm-hmm. discover that there's people that are like very recognizable to the general public, but there's an equal or much larger group of people like myself that have no idea and will never know who they are. But they're mm-hmm. still huge in whatever circle they're in. And I find that so interesting about the internet, that you can have these little groups that are actually like very sizable, but still be very unknown. In some ways, I kind of think that's better than sort of being like a super recognizable Tom Cruise or something like that, just because, you know, there's just a lot of people who know who you are. I think it's just nicer when people like you because they care.
If we entered the singularity and everything was like the second world, virtual reality, consciousness exists in a computer, would you try to break it and just do it the same way that you play games?
Well, I think the first thing that would happen is I would want to challenge whatever the AI is during the Turing test and put it through sort of some let's game it out type stuff, some trick questions. Mm-hmm. But if we're at the stage where like we're scanning brain waves and putting us in computers, oh, God, it's hard to say. I mean, in general life, like I do really believe in the social order, or rather the social contract, and breaking that too much has such catastrophic results that I think that if we're all in a computer, I think one, there's nothing there's nothing to protect me. And two, I think that it would just create so much chaos. You know, humanity's got to go on in some way. Now, if they can put me in a segregated little like sandbox where I can do that stuff, then yes, please put me there. I'll be my happiest.
We had a AI and machine learning expert. I guess he's something of an expert. He estimated that at some point in the future, artificial intelligence will be able to build video games. You tell it like, "Oh, I like these kinds of games. I like this kind, you know, these kinds of movies. Build me a game," and it'll pop out something for you at some point in the future. Isn't that cool?
That is cool. I always love to imagine what. Well, okay, so there's the optimistic part, right, where you're like, cool, it's going to make something that fits the tastes of whoever is asking for it. Similar to if you have that sort of like those weird robot arms that supposedly one day you can install in your kitchen and it will be inspired to make meals based on famous chefs and can improvise and all of that stuff. And I love to believe the idea that it's like, yes, this will work as intended, opposed to that one Twitter bot that I think Microsoft put out that immediately just turned into like a Hitler loving racist angry machine because it was like influenced by the internet. And so I worry that that's what'll happen, is it'll just turn into a vehicle for sort of like the dregs of the internet all pushed into one product that we could then play for entertainment.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to consider with that kind of stuff. And
did you ever play My Coke Studios?
My what studios?
My Coke Studios. It was a Coca-Cola-based MMO
almost. Oh, Coca-Cola, right. Okay, no, yeah, I have not played this.
So it was popular in the early 2000s-ish, like 2000, it probably came out in like 2004, and it probably ran until like 2007, I'm assuming. And when I was in junior high, everyone was playing it, and I played it through probably the beginning of high school. I played it for a few years. And one thing that people used to do, it was really easy to hack people. And the game ran in a browser, so all you would have to do is get somebody to hit F11, and then it would give them the URL for their thing. So you would tell them to copy and paste that into a chat and send it to you. Then as soon as they were they logged off, you could log in as them and transfer all their stuff to you. So people used to do that, and that was then they made it so that you cannot transfer links in the chat because I guess they found out.
I don't think this is the kind of game breaking that you're interested in, though, Josh.
Well, it kind of goes. So these days, yeah, it's more trying to ride that line. But I remember back in the day, I did used to play a lot of Ultima Online, which had a very similar sort of like morally ambiguous gray area where you could just do. I mean, you couldn't sort of like hack people's accounts, at least not quite that easily. But I don't know if you guys ever played that game. But it was a sandbox in its truest sense. I mean, it was just this weird social experiment where, you know, there was very little stopping the simulation from playing out with this many people in a game because there was, you know, like very few safe zones. And if you died, like all your stuff stayed on your body and people could just take it. And at least when I played it in like the late 90s, it was a much more vicious time for playing games of that type. But even then, I think the fun I found in a game like that mostly was finding those sort of like silly but sort of innocent bugs that didn't actually give you like a one up on someone else, but rather just produced like bizarre results in the game that you're not supposed to do.
Yeah.
There was one I remember where you could get like a bugged out item. And if you looked at it, if you opened it up in the game, it would crash your client. And I remember someone figured out how to kill themselves in a town, like a very populated town, and then it would just spill out onto the ground. And because it did that, it just crashed everybody's client that was on that screen or that would walk onto that screen. And that kind of stuff, I think, is really funny.
Someone say something.
I was waiting for...
Sorry, I was sipping some coffee.
I was seeing how long we could not say anything.
Oh, I could just keep going. That's just the nature of how this stuff goes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Joe, is there anything else we need to go over? Or any other questions you want to ask?
Well...
Before we cut them loose?
Yeah, never talk to each other again and delete the episode?
Yeah. No, but...
No, but for real.
No, but I think that this has been a very fascinating episode. And I believe I speak for both of us.
Pleasant and cozy. Like a warm fire.
I believe I speak for both of us, Lars, when I say that Josh is a gift from the heavens and we must cherish him. Josh, what is your opinion on boars?
You mean like the animal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a very elegant creature.
Ah.
I feel like it's also the thing in fictional storytelling that seems to kill people way more than I would expect.
Yeah. Well, there are actually, in reality, a lot of boar-related deaths, so they're a very violent animal. That's actually accurate.
The way you said that, Lars, like, oh, well, in reality, there are a lot of boar-related deaths.
They are murderous beasts, and they'll come for you.
Yeah, they'll fuck your shit up if you get near them. Like, guys, don't interact with boars, is what we're saying.
How would that even happen, though?
Well, you go outside.
Yeah, fuck that.
And talk to, well, not talk to one of them, but like find them and then like antagonize them.
Yeah, I guess I'll just keep doing that in in video
Ooh,
games.
Have you ever speaking of which, have you ever thought about doing an IRL Let's Game It Out where you try to like break things in real life?
So this is the poor dilemma that my wife faces, right? Because there is a certain element. I mean, and I won't do it in a way that is actually harmful to anybody, but I mean, it's in the nature of stuff like this to want to just, because, okay, so a better way of thinking of it, I guess, is at some point she was like, Josh, you're a questioner. You're the kind of person that is not content to do anything just because you're told to do. And in fact, being told to do something raises a lot more questions that results in needing purpose around that thing to even do it. And so, you know, this is something that I think anyone who's sort of like disagreed with their job can relate to is if you don't sort of, you know, because I think there's a lot of people that are really good about just shouldering whatever the job is and then just doing it. And then you do it and you don't think much of it. And then you move on with life. And I think that's what normal people do. And for me, like, I need a pretty good reason to sort of proceed with something. I at least need to understand in some capacity. Yeah. And so everything turns into a bigger question of like, but why? Why are we doing it this way? Why are we doing that? And so I think what ends up happening is I start to push back on a lot of conventions of things. And I don't mean that I go out in public and make a nuisance of anything, but just in my head, I always wonder about why things work the way they do. And sort of sometimes that manifests more in the real world, sometimes a little bit less. I definitely don't like cooking after playing Cooking Simulator, because the urge to sort of do it wrong is still so present, because that game is so good at what it does.
You ever try to drive after playing Grand Theft Auto?
So what's funny is Grand Theft Auto never had that hold, but there's other games, way worse games, that have driving mechanics where I do feel that way. We're like, okay, I shouldn't drive after playing this game because I had to like focus so hard on whatever it was that it's just like my brain can't revert back to just sitting in a normal car and doing the basic task.
You're in killing mode?
Yeah. Yeah. Someone's got to die if I get in the car, so I just stare out the window.
Oh, man.
All right. Josh, if people wanted to game it out with you, where can they go to do that?
So you can go to youtube.com/letsgameitout, or you can go to letsgameitout.com, which will just take you to the YouTube page. You can also follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/letsgameitout. Those are the easiest ways. I don't do any Twitch stuff yet. It's sort of something that I would really like to eventually do. But I'm sort of trying to spin up because I do like a video a week if I'm lucky.
Yeah.
And I'd love to start doing more. And I think that's sort of where I'm putting my focus first, is just trying to do more YouTube videos. And then once that feels a little more stable, hopefully I can pick like a couple days a week, maybe, where I can figure that out with Twitch.
Are you going to, have you already snagged the URL?
I have. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And people follow me on it, which is the funniest thing to me.
Well, they're anticipating it.
That one day.
Yeah. By the way, you can go to McDonald's and order 10,000 ketchup packets.
Like as an item?
Yeah. Like you can tell them either in the drive-thru or on the computer, I want 1,000 ketchup packets. That might be up your alley.
Do you think that they ring that up as an actual item, or are they like obligated to give it to you for free?
It's technically free. Ketchup packets are free, but they won't actually give it to you, but it'll appear on the screen. But like, as far as I know, they won't actually give it to you.
How did you come about this fact?
TikTok. People were doing this on TikTok.
Oh, God. Of course they were.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Josh, what's your TikTok?
So I don't have a TikTok, or I keep that to myself so that I can do risque things where no one knows.
Ooh. Huh. Naughty, naughty.
Well, I didn't learn about TikTok until somewhat recently and was just depressed to realize like what it is or what.
Yeah.
And that's how everyone feels, right? Just in general, like, well, it's there.
Well, you're talking to one of the most famous people on TikTok, Joe. Oh, actually,
I'm not.
Really?
I'm not one of the most. I'm not one of the most famous. But
okay, so enlighten me, because the only thing I know about it is that it's. No, it's not like Musical.ly, is it?
It is.
Okay.
It's like Vine and Musical.ly.
Okay.
So people use it for all kinds of things. Some people use it to post like Fortnite videos. Some people use it to post like just them bitching about stuff in their car. And sometimes those can be the best ones. They'll be like, guys, blah, 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 blah. I post mostly tips, tricks, and fake suggestions for Disneyland.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'll go to Disneyland all the time and be like, hey, guys, here's how to get free food. If you go to the highest ledge in the castle, there's a room full of Triscuits. There's Triscuits in that room. If you look on the ground, there's powdered sugar. So if you're looking for budget sugar, you'll never pay for sugar again. And then I'll be like, you could take food out of people's strollers.
Have you ever gotten feedback? Like, have people tried this?
I've gotten feedback, just like people telling me I'm a thief.
You did get accused of stealing candy from a baby.
I got accused of stealing candy. Yeah, they're like, did you really take that baby's... People are like, he's really out here taking candy from a baby, like, for real. And
did you?
No, it was I put Pocky in a stroller, and then I took it out, but it was my Pocky.
Wait, Joe, I just moved us into a private channel. Now, did you really?
Yeah.
Okay, just clearing that up. Okay. All right, let's move back.
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I did.
All right.
No, but... I don't know. I'm really not that famous, though. I think I probably have 5 million views or something.
That's a pretty hefty amount of views, yeah. Especially for deceiving people.
It's not... I'm happy with it. I'm happy with it. But I've actually been recognized at Disneyland while I was recording. People will call me out by my name. They'll be like, oh, it's that guy. You know, my nickname is on there is Disney Alexi. I'll be like, oh, it's Disney Alexi. And then I'll look over and like wave at them. It's kind of cool.
So did you say you guys live in the Orange County area? Can I call that out on the podcast?
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. So you're in pretty close proximity to Disneyland itself then.
Yeah.
And I take it you have a season pass or do you just like sneak in?
Yeah, I have a season pass.
Gotcha.
Let's just say.
Yeah.
Long time ago, I used to live, several places in like the LA area, but Pomona was one place that I lived.
Okay.
Oh, and your current cross streets?
Oh, I'm not there anymore.
No,
where do you live?
No,
now?
I was asking where you live now. Like, what's your address?
You still in California?
Oh, I'm on the East Coast now.
Oh, okay.
By the way, Lars, you should just probably cut most of that TikTok stuff. It's just nonsense.
No, I mean, thought it was interesting.
Okay, then leave it. If it's interesting, you can.
Okay.
By the way, Josh, you ever travel?
I do. I try to. Yeah.
What kind of luggage do you have?
So I had. Do you want like brands and stuff?
Yeah.
I can tell you. Travel Pro is the luggage brand I have. Well, I have that as like the good stuff if I feel like being flashy at the airport. But the daily carry when I go to the airport is like whatever Target's finest was at the day, which I guess is like American Tourist or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah. American Tourist is it's the Chevrolet of suitcases.
Mm-hmm.
Like if it gets, you know, banged up, it's not going to.
This is not
really
interesting,
matter.
Joe. This is not interesting for the audience.
This is not for the audience, Lars. This is for me.
This is just for us time.
Oh, boy.
All right, let's move on.
But I do try to travel. I mean, so I'm from California, so I try to get back as much as I can.
Yeah, I would too.
All right.
Okay, Joe, let's go ahead and let's give the links.
Just go through the motions. Give the links.
Let's get it done.
If you want to listen to more, go to t1podcast.com. If you want to join us on Discord, go to discord.t1podcast.com.
Joe, I can't, like, legally, I cannot allow that soulless shilling there. Let's
I
actually
we were doing
like,
a soulless
get
shilling.
Excited about it, okay?
Oh, okay.
You want me to give it a shot?
Well, do you know all our links by heart? Because otherwise, probably not.
Wait. Hold on. Let's see.
Here, just repeat after me, Josh. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, go to t1podcast.com.
If you like what you heard and you want to hear more, go to t1podcast.com.
If you want to support your local content creators, go to patreon.com/t1podcast.
The second part I'm not going to read because I started thinking about other stuff.
Oh.
But I think it had T1 Podcast and Patreon in there.
That's right.
This is going to hell in a handbasket.
All right, Lars, you save the day, Lars.
Patreon.com/T1podcast gets you bonus episodes of the show, shout outs on air, dramatic readings every month, which, by the way, it is a new month. So we'll be doing dramatic readings / shoutouts for the $10 patrons. You also get a special role in the Discord. You get early access listening to all the episodes, including this one. If you wanted to hear it early when it's edited, not just when it gets released, you can become a patron for, I think it's actually like 6 cents a day is the minimum tier. You have 6 cents, right, Joe?
I do, but most people have way more than that.
Exactly. So you can afford 6 cents a day. Patreon.com/T1podcast helps support the show. And Joe, if people wanted to wear the podcast, how can they do that?
Go to merch.t1podcast.com where we have shirts, sweatshirts, little tote bags,
goggles,
pillows,
devices,
coffee mugs,
tools,
stickers, little pictures for your fridge,
little green ghouls, lots of cool stuff. Merch.t1podcast.com.
Put them on your skateboards.
Yeah, put it on your skateboard.
That's my takeaway.
Yeah. Kickflip your way over to our merch store at merch.t1podcast.com. I think that's merch. Going to do it. Josh. Josh.
Yes.
It's been a pleasure recording with you. Thank you for coming on the show.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
This has been by far my favorite episode that we've ever recorded with somebody named Josh.
Oh, you.
That's really offensive to Josh Newman, Joe.
Oh, I thought it was it. We recorded with State Senator Josh Newman.
Yeah, maybe I'll
cut
he's
that. A senator, though. He gets it.
Yeah. Former state senator.
Former state senator.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he's not senator. A regular listener.
You guys are being kind of mean to him still.
I'm pretty sure he's not a regular listener.
Not anymore.
Not after this.